Hi guys, it's your host Matilda.
And your host Hadiza.
And you're listening to the Amiibo Interlude. Hi y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Africa Lipso podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
I guess this is an Amiibo interlude, which is kind of the episodes where we just gist about what is going on. When we first started the podcast, we used to like fold them into like the main episodes, but then we found that we were gisting for far too long. So we said, let's just create like
dedicated gist time and then
exactly. So that's what we do here. So in case you're new, that's the gist of it. Imama is not here today. She's in Nigeria.
Enjoying.
Is she enjoying? Well, we'll talk about what's going on in our nation today.
who's our, please?
Oh, it's not your nation anymore.
I don't know if I want to.
Okay, Hadiza.
I can neither claim nor deny.
What color is your passport?
It's blue. You know?
You declaim passport. Okay, if you say so.
You know green is next to blue on the color rainbow. So you can really, if you squint your
eye. It's relative.
It's relative. I think mine's
what's
blue.
Annoying is the color of the passport is not mistakable. Like, it's not even a kind of green that you can unsee. Like,
it's solid green.
It's solid green. At the airport, they can really, really distinguish.
They're
from,
like, yeah, this passport needs to go into the dustbin along with the like person who wants it.
Yeah. How's your week been, Hadiza, so far?
I don't know. It's been crazy busy. Like, every day I'm like, I don't understand. This is supposed to be the job that didn't stress me. Like, why are you guys stressing me now? You guys are giving me no incentives to work here. I'm just joking. In case my employers listen to this, why? Any chance? It's JKJK.
But for everyone else, it's just not joking.
It's been crazy busy. Like, literally, today I was, we're having a meeting at work and I was hearing music. Hey, God, I was hearing music. I was like, I told my manager, I was like, somebody's playing music. She was like, she can't hear it. And I stepped out and it was just, I think it was the sound that was coming from the room. Like, so we were in a room that muffles sound outside and the muffled sound for some reason sounded like music to me. But she couldn't hear it. And I was like, am I just tired or am I going crazy? Like, and if I'm going crazy, now my managers know I can go crazy. That's crazy.
I feel like one of your biggest fears is going crazy because you react very, like you're startled by
literally any
stuff like that.
And no, seriously, like if I step out of this room and I still hear music, I'm going to go to the emergency room. Yeah, but thankfully I didn't hear music, so it's okay. It's
all good.
How was your week?
Okay, so overworked, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, my week was pretty much the same. It's also been busy at work, but I'm pretty uneventful. But one thing that Ottawa has been going through is like poor air quality. I don't know if you guys are having that in Toronto, but I think it's been especially worse in Ottawa.
The tree smells like barbecue outside.
You know what's funny? I haven't gone out this week. Like, okay. Since Tuesday, I was just like, okay, they said we should stay indoors.
Right.
And I'm just going to stay here. But I think earlier today, I was like, I don't know if it's in my head, but I feel like my chest is tight. And like, I felt like I had been having sore throats. Anyways, I feel like in a way, I'm a hypochondriac.
What's that?
What do they call those people that are kind of like scared of being sick? Like they're always scared that they're sick.
I mean, to be honest, the air quality did affect my somebody I know at work uses like an inhaler and they had to use their inhaler this week.
Okay. Yeah. And that's Toronto. Toronto wasn't as bad. I think the smokes are coming from Quebec apparently.
Right.
And generally in the east, like the northeast part of North America.
Right.
New York was terrible as well. I was seeing videos and somebody said Canadians are trying to take us out. Like, okay. Welcome to global warming. It's actually so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, this is kind of the norm now. Even if we are expecting wildfires, they're not meant to be happening this early on.
Right, like the summer hasn't actually started proper.
Yeah, but we've already started getting high temperatures, like
that's crazy.
Five and stuff like
when
that,
you say so. That I'm like, shit, I didn't actually put it into context of the length of time we still have left for the heat to really pile on, Jiga, because this is supposed to be the mild time.
Man, this is sad. But you know what? What has been giving me joy? Because I've actually been kind of sad. Because I want to go out. Like, it's June. This is the time we're meant to be outside.
Right.
But what has been giving me joy is that Love Island UK started again. Do you watch it?
No, I don't watch it, actually. It's been, like, the last time I watched Love Island has been forever. Though I've seen the cast, though. I saw more black people.
Okay, yeah. There's this babe there, Catherine. I think she's Irish-Nigerian. Mm. Omar, I feel like this has never happened in Love Island history. The first day, three guys are pining after her. And
seriously?
This is like Love Island. Yeah, this is
like
Love Island UK.
Black
where,
guys or like non-black?
So two of them, okay, one of them is proper black.
Okay.
One of them is a square head, light skinned guy.
Hey, what do you mean square head? What does that even mean?
It's funny because like every year, apparently there's always like a square head, light skin. It's a joke.
Okay.
If you know, you know. There's always like a light skinned guy.
Yeah.
He's black, but he's like, he's Tyreek. His name is Tyreek. He's probably like from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And then one of them is white. They are saying he's spicy white.
Oh, spicy. Makes sense.
Zachariah. Have you ever heard a white guy called Zachariah?
He's giving Italian. Well, he might not be Italian.
No, he's not. He looks like British. Like, he looks white.
Maybe his name is Zach, but he's just calling himself his full name. Like, people usually don't go by their full name. Zach is Zachariah, right?
He wants to be addressed as Zachariah. That's what he introduced himself as.
Makes sense.
I think in North American culture, a lot of times, their government names are not the full names. Like,
right.
It would be like Zach, and that's like the official name.
Right.
There's actually no like full name.
Right.
It's just Zach.
Right.
Or like Dan.
Right.
It's like meant to be like Daniel, but they've just said the name I want is
Dan.
That kind of thing.
Like, period.
But his name is Zachariah and he goes by Zachariah.
I do think I've heard, like, I've seen other like white British people with interesting names that I've never heard of before. Maybe it's a thing with British people. They want to keep things proper and stuff. So
I'm screaming. Like, it's very biblical.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I follow the tweets and everything. And I feel like people are generally just, the black girls are kind of vicariously living through her in a way, because it's almost like the black girl is always the last to be picked.
Right.
They're always like the marginalized
one. That's what
one.
I've, from the last time I watched Love Island, that was the case. I was like, okay, I mean.
But the babe is bad. Like, she's fine. Mm. She's proper fine. Mm. So yeah, I'll keep watching. It's
okay.
Like,
maybe I'll watch too, since the black person is like, they're now a main character. They're not like a side character, a side story.
To be fair though, like in the last seasons, the black girls have been, there's usually one token black girl.
Okay.
I won't say token, but there's usually one black girl that's kind of main character.
Right.
Like, she's part of the starting cast and then she usually makes it to the end. Like last couple of ones.
Yeah.
I think even in the last couple of ones, black people have made it to the finals and stuff like that. But yeah, it's funny that like when things aren't going well, like all these things like Love Island, Big Brother, them, they're just like good distractions.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the whole world is on fire right now.
Seriously, like I feel like every day something's happening. Like every day I'm like, can't we take a break? Like, honestly,
now,
crazy.
Tinubu is our president.
And he didn't even allow us to rest. We're already dealing with the fact that you are president. Like, give us a break, a period of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where you just, you know, lay low. He just hit us with a banger announcement. What was the announcement?
He removed subsidy.
Yeah.
Like, in his inaugural speech,
he
announced that fuel subsidy was going to be removed.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, though, how do you feel about him being our president right now? Your president.
So, I mean, I was for Mr. Obi.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. So I was disappointed, honestly. Like, I was really hoping and praying he would win. But apparently, that's not what people wanted. We don't know that yet. So, as I said,
allegedly,
that's not what people wanted. So I'm like, okay. Anyways, so yeah, so I was a bit, you know, disappointed. And I mean, I've already been disappointed with Nigeria for the past couple of years. So I was like, okay, this is just another disappointment, right? And then I was walking back home one day and then I got a text that said, fuel went from 190 naira to 500 naira today. And I was like, that is crazy. And before he had been talking, obviously, about removing fuel subsidy, but they always talk about removing fuel subsidy. I was like, this guy is joking. Like, this guy is obviously just like, this is just talk, right? But I was like, that is crazy. Do you know how much people are going to suffer? I was actually dumbfounded. And I think him saying he was going to remove it prompted. So my understanding is for a lot of fuel stations, they kind of subsidize the fuel and then they get the money back later, like at a later point in the year, right? So when they heard his speech, they were like, well, I mean, does that mean we're not going to get our money? Like, do you get what I'm saying? And then the price went up. So that's my understanding of why everything went up, like literally the next day without him having to put into place like any kind of written something that says it will be removed.
I think it's greed. I think they know that it didn't go into immediate effect. He said it in his inaugural speech, not that, oh, like it wasn't an official, the guy right. had not even entered, like he had not settled down into his presidentness right. or whatever.
Right.
I think it's greed. Like it's just, let's hike the price up. And because the thing, okay, let's give a little bit of background for those who don't understand what the petrol / fuel subsidy is in Nigeria. Right. So pretty much like our government has been subsidizing the cost of petrol since, I think they said, the 1970s. Hmm. So they determined the price. So the thing is, Nigeria has a lot of crude oil, but then we don't refine a lot of it. So we're not able to actually meet the demands, our like local demands pretty much. So we import the rest of our needs, right? And when you import it, you are paying the normal market price where you buy it, right?
Right.
And then after they import it, they now budget a certain amount so that Nigerians are paying pretty much less for gas / petrol
right.
than like the average person in other countries. So for reference, someone in the UK would pay like about $1.80 per liter. Hmm. Someone in Ghana, which is even close to us, would pay 14 cedis, which is about $1.24 for a liter. But people in Nigeria are paying about 40 cents per liter. So like it's a big subsidy.
Yeah.
And our government has been budgeting crazy amounts every year to subsidize fuel. For the first 6 months of this year, they budgeted $7 billion.
Which could even go up because, I mean, it looks like it's subject to exchange rates, right? So if exchange rates are up, the amount that you're subsidizing, you need to...
Don't they budget in Naira, though?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, but they're importing.
They're importing, yeah. So... Fair. So it's like, because even when you're doing the comparisons between even the Ghana cedis, I would imagine is a stronger currency than the Naira right now. And I think another thing that I read also was that when they started the subsidy thing, they just did not anticipate it would get more as expensive as it is right now, because the dollar to Naira has
changed rate
significantly in the past couple of years. So now it seems like, oh wow, this is a lot of money we're subsidizing, like we're spending to subsidize. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, governments have been trying to remove it since. This is not me being
it's not the first
way,
time,
but like, yeah. I think there was a real sense of urgency, like this is crazy.
No, Nigeria is broke, like we don't have money, like we're borrowing at alarming rates,
right?
I think that's like the thought process. And and generally that $7 billion budget is more than the amount that we budget for education and health combined.
Right.
So like, I guess what Tinubu said in his inauguration speech, and I watched it and I almost left, but I had to like watch it on like 1.75 speed.
You guys are literally the heroes, because I could not listen to, I'm like, I want to read what he said. I do not want to listen to it.
Don't want to read it. Yeah. I mean, don't want to listen to it. That's fair.
Yeah.
But he was pretty much just saying like, so it can be like allocated to other things. And I understand the thoughts, to be honest.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to give a disclaimer before we even talk about this. I feel like I'm going to come from a place of, I kind of support that the subsidies are removed, but I feel like it's a, it might be, I'm not sure, but I think it's a privileged point of view to be able to say that, because when you look on the other side of things and how poor people are, like literally, I was reading somewhere and they said one in three Nigerians are unemployed. One in three.
Yep. And that number is going to go up.
Yeah. And the number is only going to go up. And like, we know that Nigeria does not have stable electricity.
Yeah. The number I saw was like 45 or 40% of Nigerians are unemployed. So that sounds right to me, to be honest.
It's just so crazy because, and I guess this is also coming when globally there's a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
You know, when there's bad things going on in the world, Nigeria will be like, take that, double it.
Yeah.
So apparently our inflation rate was already like 22% and it's only going to go up because pretty much a lot of things that we do in Nigeria, like small businesses especially, are dependent on electricity.
Yep.
Like,
and fuel. Right.
This is a country of like poor people. So,
you know what's crazy about, like for me, when I first heard it, I was just like, there's no new money coming in. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're raising the cost for everybody. Even the petrol station isn't benefiting because technically they were getting the same amount, whether the subsidy or no subsidy is the same amount they have been getting.
Apparently,
do you get what I'm saying?
Though, the reason it's crazier is that there's so much corruption.
No, that's another
associated
angle.
So when you say the filling stations,
I mean,
stakeholders
by the books,
in this subsidy,
by the on paper, you know, like there's no new. I mean, obviously, like they say, oh, we freed up that amount of money so we can put it back to the people. I'm like, you guys are just
there's
opening your pockets open. Like you guys are just widening your pocket to fit. Well, allegedly, not allegedly, but you know how corruption works, like it could happen, right? So I was just like, people are just going to suffer because ordinarily, so in Nigeria also, like, I mean, so there's no electricity, right? Like there is electricity, but it comes on like maybe 5 hours in the day. Like,
if even,
and this is
because it depends on your area.
Right. And then people also pay for this thing, right? So people would now have their gens on maybe 4 hours. Ordinarily, even with the subsidy, people could not run their generator or for like a long time, like usually 5 hours and stuff like that, and it's done for the day max. Do you get what I'm saying? So now, like you've risen the cost, like the cost has increased by 2-3 times. Like people are barely going to be able to run their gen. Somebody I was speaking to was like, oh, she was turning on the gen to just charge her phone and have internet to do some work before the subsidy was removed only. And now with the subsidy removed, like, how is she going to be able to afford to? I was like, are they trying to put Nigeria in the dark ages? That's just what I was. And in a time when, like, you know, Nigeria really needs to compete on a global scale, you're now kind of pushing Nigerians backwards. Like, you know, without access to fuel, you don't have access to internet, you don't have access to just basic stuff like we cook. Like how do you cook? How do you take care of your family? How do you commute? And then I'm seeing people say, oh, people should ride bicycle. But I'm like, are the roads good enough for bicycles?
Word. Like, but it's so incredibly complex though, because when you think about it, at least this is what the government's saying, because see, they're not to be trusted.
Right.
I think it adds to the complexity of the argument. But what the government is saying is that infrastructure cannot move forward. Like they can't invest in the necessary infrastructure if a lot of the money is going towards subsidizing fuel.
Right.
And they're saying that, and specific petrol, I think they had a subsidy on diesel, but I think that has been removed.
Right.
Like a while ago.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, so and they said nobody died then, but I think the average person is more dependent on like petrol, like
petrol for driving diesel and moving. Makes sense. So even
just to complete my point, the government is saying that they cannot invest in other things because a lot of the money is going to this thing. So
right.
when we say, oh, are the roads even good enough for bicycles and stuff? They can't be if they keep investing all the money and a lot of money into that. It's more of like a long-term thinking than short-term. Right. And the belief is that markets will adjust. Like if you allow for a free market, people will eventually adjust. Unfortunately, that's just how it usually works.
But that is, I do feel they should have, I mean, I do think Tinubu should have seen it coming. Like, he shouldn't have announced something that they didn't have a plan for yet.
It's careless. Yeah. It was careless.
Because, yeah. I mean, I my understanding is Dangote was supposed to kickstart his refineries, and they're looking for people to take over a contract for the existing refineries that they have. So essentially what was supposed to happen is their refineries were supposed to replace some of the demand that would come from importing these, the fuel, and then the price will balance out. So like price will balance out because you have other competitors, right? So competitors to the imported fuel essentially. But then you didn't allow that to happen. Now everybody's going through maximum pain for no reason because... I mean, assuming these people actually were able to kickstart, at least it wouldn't maybe have dropped so drastically. Like you remove the subsidy all the way, and then there's nothing else. There's no other source of fuel coming in outside of the one that's imported. So now everybody is just in maximum pain. Whereas if you held off and just calm down, it's going to happen. Like, I don't know why Nigerians like to rush into things that are not complete. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, rush to show or talk about things that are not complete. But
yeah, I agree. They could have definitely planned it a little bit. Not a little. They could have planned it a lot better, to be honest. And they budgeted till June. So what happens to all the money now? Like till the end of June,
right?
Like what happens to that money? Like where is that money going to go? Is it going to go back to like the other projects?
Right.
Because everything has already gone into effect.
It's going to be Tino.
It's also funny because I was speaking on the Dangote refineries. I was speaking to someone this week, someone in Nigeria, and the person is very doubtful that that refinery is ever going to fully operate properly.
Right.
Because Buhari, before he went out, they did like a launch or something. What was it? What's that thing
like
that
they cut the ribbon?
Yeah, that thing where they cut. What did they call it?
I forgot what they call it.
Oh my gosh, he was shot there too. The word is leaving me, but he was shot there to do photo ops.
Yeah,
but that refinery is not working, and they are saying the actual date that it's going to start manufacturing is August 31st.
Apparently, they pushed it. Yeah,
they pushed again.
I was speaking to somebody and they were saying even January. So I don't know.
Yeah, so it's been years, like it's been years and years and years since they've said that that refinery is going to go into effect.
Right.
And the person I was speaking with works in the oil industry and does not believe that that refinery, like it might start working for a bit, but then it'll break down. Like they believe we don't have what it takes to actually
meet the demand.
Refineries well.
Oh, to operate it well, even.
To operate it well, and there's also external forces that probably do not want us to refine our own.
I think it's a lot to... the transition could have been... I understand why they might feel the need to remove subsidy to have Dangote operate his fuel at the same time. Because at the end of the day, you can't compete. I don't know what the economics would be, but I'm assuming maybe it might be difficult for Dangote as a refinery to compete with subsidized fuel, like the cost of his own refined fuel. I don't know, but that's my assumption anyways. But I feel like they could have... They could have done it in a stepwise. Because I'm like,
I don't think he would be competing. No, so I don't think he'll be competing. Well, I think what happens is the fuel would go into circulation. The government would still subsidize it. I don't think it really matters the source of the fuel. They subsidize it either way.
I see. So even if Dangote was refining fuel in Nigeria, because there's just a mandate to subsidize all fuel in Nigeria.
Subsidized.
It would be subsidized.
But it would cost our government less because they're not importing it. It's within the economy.
Okay, makes sense. So it's not being subsidized at the gas, that makes sense. It's being subsidized at the point of like the gas
sale.
Much. Yeah, makes sense.
To be honest, I've heard so many different theories, everybody saying like what they think should have happened and right. etc. I don't know that there was a right answer, to be honest. I know this wasn't it. Like the way that they went about it wasn't it. Because in the past, apparently, I don't know how much that would have made a difference, but they were going to give 5K to like every poor Nigerian or something when they remove it to subsidize transportation and stuff. I don't know how they would implement. Yeah, 5K per month to like help out with that.
I don't know how that helps because
I don't know.
You're increasing cost of transportation by 2 times.
Yeah, I really don't know what it would have done, but I honestly do think, given the way things were running, I don't think it was sustainable, the subsidy. It wasn't. It would have needed to go at some point. Unfortunately, it was done improperly, I would say, but I think it was just needed.
So question. So is he still going to actually go through with it? Because, I mean, it was just a speech, right? So is he going to actually sign it in that the subsidy is removed permanently? Because, you know, even in Goodluck's time, I think something similar had happened. So this is done. Like, the subsidy is not coming back.
I think they eventually announced that it was actually meant to go away at the end of June, which is, like, what they had budgeted for.
Right.
I think it's going, though.
Right, okay.
I think the labor organization or whatever, the Nigerian Labor Commission, whatever, they said they were going to strike. There were a lot of organizations that were going to strike in Nigeria, but they said something about the mess with the president and they're no longer striking. I don't really know what's going on, to be very honest, but in my opinion, I don't think it's going away. I think they mean it this time, but we'll see as things develop. But things are already going up. Apparently, people were like stranded at transport places. Yeah, they were stranded because like immediately he announced it, like everything started going up. Gas, I say gas, the North American in me.
Oh yeah,
keep saying gas, but petrol.
Yeah,
prices went up, and even you know, these buses that go intercity and stuff, their cost started going up to like almost immediately, almost instantaneously. So you can imagine if you have imagine if you have 5,000 naira left in your account and you know what you want to do with it, and then the day you go to do it, Tinubu announces something and you can no longer afford it.
So, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and Nigeria doesn't really have like a credit system, at least here.
You can use your credit card.
Yeah, at least here you can use your credit card to account for like miscellaneous things. But in Nigeria, you either have it or you have...
The person who you want to borrow money from is borrowing money. Like, there's nowhere...
Bro, but like, we should probably move on to other things because I don't think there's really a good solution to it. And we also know that Nigeria is going to do what Nigeria wants to do. Like, our government's going to do what they want to do.
Right.
I don't think they really care about the people. So, unfortunately, we're on our own, I think. But in the Peter Obi thing, I'm still trying to follow it, but I don't know that much is really going to come of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't follow it at all, for that particular one. But I'm like, I mean, what happens even if they find, let's say, assuming they find Atiku is actually the...
Which one is that? Atiku would know.
He's actually the one who is supposed to...
So is somebody going to try to drag Tinubu away from Aso Rock?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know... I don't know what will really, even if they were able to find that that was the case, I don't know that anything can be done about it.
The country would first burn to the ground before Tinubu leaves that office.
Yeah.
And I think he has what it takes to burn the country to the ground.
Yeah.
So we keep watching and everything, but it's a little less hopeful. They say the results and everything should be announced by, like, everything, the final addresses and et cetera should finish August 5th. So we still have some ways to go,
right,
as to what's going to come of the tribunal. But we'll see.
Right.
Do you want to talk about the Nigeria Air thing?
Honestly, I think speaking on the same concept of Nigerians like to announce things when things are not done completely. Like, what the heck? Like, I honestly had to read that story a couple of times to get. Matilda, correct me if I'm understanding, because sometimes I don't really guess. Like, is it that Nigerians, that like the whoever it was, I don't know, I don't remember mm-hmm. who the people, they asked Ethiopian Airlines if they can borrow their plane to use it to market Nigeria Air. So they painted Nigeria Air on an Ethiopian airline plane and operations, like
pretty much. Yeah. They chartered the flight. They said that it was proof of concept.
What does that mean?
They said before, all they had been seeing was an idea that they have investors. So they needed to see the plane, how it would look.
Fraud?
So, yeah, fraud.
Because that's not the actual plane. Proof of concept is the thing you're actually designing, but this one is already designed and owned by another airline. No? Am I getting it wrong? Or?
I don't know. I just feel like when I was reading it, they were saying that, even if, okay, that is what you guys were planning to do.
Right.
When everyone on social media was saying, they've launched, your media team should have come out and just said, no, this is not a launch. This is...
Right.
They should have used one other technical term confuse us. I don't know what they were saying. They said it was not a launch. It was something else.
Mm.
So it was us that were misunderstanding what was going on.
Right.
But they didn't clarify, because that's you people's business.
Right.
So if no one looked into it, it's very like they pretty much just want us to like understand. And apparently they were saying something about since the idea was conceived like in 2016 to date, they've spent about 85 billion naira on this project.
Mm.
And what has come of it? Still just proof of concept. Still just borrowing.
When was the deadline? Like, when was it supposed to have been done?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a deadline, really?
I don't know.
I don't know. But it was just another thing that's just like, what is going on in Nigeria? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The country just seems to have less and less hope every day, to be honest. But yeah. I think it would take a miracle, like a serious miracle, for us to get back on track.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's kind of sad. I'm like, yeah, every time I look at the news again, because you know I don't read news, Nigerian news, I'm like, oh shit, okay, never mind. Yeah, I honestly hope things get better. Like, it's just depressing and sad to see people suffering for what feels like no reason, or what feels like something that it could have been done better, you know? Anyways.
Let's move on to light things. Let's actually move on to light things.
You know, it's crazy. I actually started watching Young, Famous, and African a couple weeks ago. I don't usually watch
stuff like that.
Yeah, but a friend was like, yo, have you watched this thing? I was like, no, I've seen it, but I'm not watching. And she was like, oh, you have to watch it. Like, seriously. And I started watching. I was like, oh my God. Like, I haven't even gone. I'm still in the first season. Trying to, you know, catch up, but then I still keep seeing clips on social media about what Two-Face said to said about his wife. I'm like, this Two-Face and his wife saga, honestly, like, we have heard it over like every couple of years. Like, it just comes back to the limelight that Two-Face is what's the word when you're just like, you're no shit, like, you're just trash.
Scum,
like, everything under the sun. Like, literally, Two-Face was like, sorry, but I was just remembering. Two-Face was like, I don't remember what he said. Oh God.
Is it in the clip from season two?
Yeah, clip from season two.
He said, yeah, men generally, like, they can love their wives, they make love to their wives, but they might be somewhere else and their penis, like, tells them something else, and it's just sex.
And then his wife was like, are you talking about you or that man?
The question didn't make sense. The question, and I've watched season two, so
I have more context.
But even having the full context, it still doesn't make sense. Like, You would think if you watch the show, it would shed more light to why he would bring that up, but it really doesn't. So what had happened was in the show, it was happening around the time when they were saying that someone else is pregnant for Two-Face. And apparently this comes up all the time, that Two-Face is there, he has a new baby mama or whatever.
Right.
Then I think Annie had invited her friends over, her friends from the show over, and they were just having dinner and they were talking. Somehow, Two-Face got to that conversation. And it's like, bro, first of all, you are literally in the middle of dealing with cheating allegations.
Yeah.
What would make you, even if you are not talking about yourself, which I don't see how he wasn't.
Yeah. So
why would you say that in front of your wife?
That's just to show you.
In front of your wife's alleged friends.
And then in front, it's so embarrassing. Like, you're embarrassing her. Like, this is
that
not
that man
a-
does not rate that woman.
Yeah, facts.
No one can tell me otherwise. Facts. I don't think so. And I think this is generally a thing. Like, usually, and this is a generalization, but I feel like when women stay after they know you cheated, I think you rate them less. Like, you're just like, if you can take this from me, what else can you take? Like,
right.
You can probably take a lot more.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I just have to rate you for not rating yourself. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's another thing too. I think also, I feel like a lot of women are like, okay, it's just like, this is not even in Nigeria. This is the, what's the name of that African-American woman that people always sing about, but I was born cheated.
Derek Jackson?
No, not Derek Jackson, please. No.
Oh, okay.
A lighter one. That one had some kind of, no.
Oh my gosh, that woman went through a lot.
Nia Long and her husband, right?
Okay.
It seemed like, I was talking to a friend about it, and her reaction was very much like I didn't know he be cheating, but now that it's public, it's annoying. Do you get what I'm saying?
Are you sure?
I feel like, well, this is just our speculation. I feel like a lot more women are willing to, like, cheating happens a lot in Nigerian marriages.
Okay, yes.
A lot.
Facts.
But, like, you still see a lot of women staying, like, in those marriages, right? And it's crazy because I feel like some people will even be like, you will now leave your husband so another woman will have that. Because the thing is, they are trying to say the man will not stop cheating, but you are now losing the status of being a married woman. You're having to split your kids between like
homes.
Yeah, going through all of that just for another woman to be chopping what you are chopping now. Like, seriously, stay with your man. Like, that's the narrative.
To be very honest, I no longer feel like it's that big of a deal, because it's like there are multiple reasons, I hear you, like why women decide to stay or men decide to stay after their partners have cheated. But I think it's just the fact that it feels like he keeps embarrassing her.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, yes, nobody, she doesn't need to explain to anyone. Yet, she's still always trying to defend him.
She's
always trying to explain
herself. Let her just say, don't kid yourself. Just, you know, your man is a dog and you're staying with him.
Yeah, like, don't explain to us. Don't try telling us long stories.
Yeah.
He cheated multiple times.
Yeah.
He had kids outside your relationship and you decided to stay.
Yeah.
That is the fact.
Yeah.
Just keep it private and stop making it, like, it's kind of further embarrassing you every couple of months. It's like,
but I feel like it has something to do with the fact that he's like her, because she keeps saying, oh, he's her first everything. Do you get that kind of thing? So maybe she's also clung to him in a way, like, as in, I don't know how to explain. Like, she has no other experience. I mean, I don't know.
I hear you, but in the show, she keeps saying, me, as an old woman, I know be picking. I'm an old woman.
Right.
So if you are an old woman, use wisdom.
Use wisdom.
Like, makes sense. Damn.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. You're right. It's probably the fact that she's been with him since, like, she was really, really young.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, he's kind of like all she's known.
Yeah.
I get that. But it's just the way she's going about it that's really embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the worst kind of situation I've been. This is like, I literally watched the clip and I was like, I closed my eyes for her, like, oh man, this is painful.
Secondhand embarrassment.
This is painful to watch and listen to.
I feel you.
Yeah.
But in terms of like men that are embarrassing women, did you see that clip on Twitter where the guy was walking down the aisle?
And texting.
They had just gotten married. They were walking down the aisle as like normal people would do. This man did not look up. He was texting the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and the woman was like there holding his hand, you know, smiling like, to the guests.
Right. So question, I actually watched that clip and I was like, are you sure this is not like a social media stunt? Like this is not like a skit?
Okay. With social media, you always have to ask that question.
I was like, are you sure? Because I was like, this doesn't like, I was like, this
like, no way.
Nothing in this like video looks real to me. Like, I'm like, how can you be texting? I was like, no, this, like, I mean, it looks real, but I was also like, what
if it looked pretty real? That's all I'll say.
Could it be a skit? Like, I'm like, how are you texting while you're getting married? Like, seriously?
And then, like, okay, first of all, there's the angle that it could be fake. It could be a skit.
Yeah.
That one. Okay, sure. But we'll just analyze it and assume that it's real.
Legit.
Yeah, we'll assume it's real. But another thing, like, a lot of people, like, I was talking to someone about it and I was like, the guy should have just killed her. Like, if he wants to embarrass her, like, he should just kill her. Right. And he was just saying, oh, like, people on social media are always inferring things just based off
the guy
like,
responded.
A second.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're okay. I thought you is the person you are having the conversation with. About
oh no. Just okay, the person. I was like, oh okay. No.
I was like, would we get a response? Okay, sorry. Continue.
No. So the person I was speaking to, and he's a guy.
Yeah.
He was saying that, you know, people just see like really short clips and then assume things. Eh? So many things could have been happening. Like what? He might have been, and even in the comments, people were saying he might have been texting something about their honeymoon. Like.
Wait, be that.
Spare me that.
Like you're like, literally walking down the aisle.
It takes 10
the
seconds
aisle,
to walk down the
please,
aisle.
Please, thank you so much. Like you, the aisle, you will not stay. Please, that's when they take the pictures. Do you want to look back at your wedding pictures and then you're on the phone?
You're pressing phone.
Like, is that... That just shows how unimportant... Like, at your meeting, do you press phone? When your boss is talking to you, do you press your phone?
Exactly.
So don't give me that. I don't like when people come and it's because it's a guy. They're like, oh yeah, you don't know. Tell me if he's talking to his boss and his boss is telling him this is what's happening now. This is what I want you to do, or I need to be present for this meeting, or they're in a meeting and a board meeting, or whatever. And he'll be touching his phone. His phone won't even be on the table, like silent, like dead. Like, so
they said, unless he's like a surgeon and like one of his patients is like actively dying or something,
then it would be a phone
call. But
that's
not what it looked like. Exactly. That's not really what it looked like.
And he didn't look shocked. He looked like he was texting, not me fairing, but I'm like, maybe he has a wife. Because
I think that one was a step further. That's another reach.
Because I was like, maybe he has some wife somewhere. He told her he was going, I don't know, maybe different time zone even.
He said he's out with a relative.
I'm out with the boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, yes, I hear you when people say on social media, people just see like a really short clip and then they run with it and then they have like different narratives and et cetera. Like what happened with the Gabrielle Union interview? And I don't know if you heard about that.
What happened with that one? Sorry.
So I don't want to go too much into it because we're kind of running out of time.
Okay,
but
shit.
So Gabrielle Union had gone on a show and she was talking about generally money, like she was just saying like her money insecurities and stuff
that
almost she just said like for 1 second 50, like a 50. Really short second that was not even her main point. And oh my gosh, social media ran
I did see that clip. I was like,
they ran with it. They created like so many different narratives. And I guess she's the one that kind of put it out in the public and everything. So like, and we know that's what social media does. But
I think I also feel like Gabrielle Union, maybe because she's older, she hasn't yet gotten the memo that 50-50 is no longer a thing.
No, it's so funny how much we're going back, not backwards, but it's just like it's coming full circle.
Yeah.
It's like one generation is like women empowerment, women should take on this, and then the other generation is like, nope, women don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like back and forth.
Yeah.
But it's just so interesting to see that the general ideology thing now is that women don't want to work.
Right. And then
they want to be paid for.
No, fact. I'm like, Gaborinian probably, I watched that clip, I was like, Gaborinian probably fought for that 50-50. Like, yeah, with her man. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, she probably told him.
It's very possible that it's not even, like, maybe it's 50-50 in, like, some bills, but he probably, like, buys her stuff, too. Like,
right.
Maybe it's 50-50 in the bills, but, like, maybe
right.
extra lifestyle. Like,
stuff.
We're not in the marriage. We don't know. So I think that was a situation where you can say, okay, people are, like, seriously reaching.
Right.
And, like, even when you say, oh, the man was texting his side chick and stuff, ew, I think that's...
They said that. Oh, no, okay, no, you mean during the marriage. Sorry.
I didn't like keep up.
Back to the...
when people were saying things about, like, they believe that the guy was texting his side chick, I think that's right. another leap that might not necessarily be true. But
right.
I think what, based off of what we can see, is that he was being very disrespectful
very
to the
disrespectful.
Person that he married.
Yeah. That's just it.
And then even like at some point in the clip, he looked like he was annoyed at her.
Mm.
Like when they got outside, I think she was trying to say something and he had like an annoyed look on his face.
I didn't catch that.
I'm like, bro, even if you guys are fighting, like, are you a child?
Yeah.
Bro. It was just somehow sure.
Yeah, like, no. That was a weird video. I was like, this is weird. Like, I was just like, oh, I hope this is a skit. But if it's not a skit, then of course, this guy is just rude, like, period.
Like, yeah. You just always hope that you're not, someone will record you. Yeah. Someone will record you doing something, like, catch you unawares, and then you become viral.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, we are kind of running out of time. But one thing we always do on our Amiibo interludes to end things off is our question of the week. And that's right. when we read like a funny dilemma. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious, sometimes stupid, you know, whatever. Just dilemmas. And then we answer them. And today I tried to pick one that was kind of in line with Fuel. And generator. So this question comes from a woman and she says, one second.
Okay. I need you to read it so that it can make sense to
me. Yeah, so it can make sense. Yeah, I feel you. Okay. So she said, my boyfriend is very generous. He gives me anything I ask for. I was the first in my whole department to get an iPhone 14.
I'm on a competition. How are you keeping track of people's phones? Your whole department?
In Nigeria, it's a big deal, though. It's a big deal, kind of, I guess, depending on where you are, because iPhones are generally more expensive than Androids.
Right.
So her whole department, she said, my whole department was coming to see the iPhone features.
I want Apple stuff.
I have two iPhones, by the way.
Ew.
I have 4 bone straight different colors.
Wow.
I already know this is a scene.
You know, I didn't even see that. Okay, keep on.
Yeah, so she has 4 bone straights, different colors, but there are some things that she's not okay with.
All right.
Okay. He won't help when he's carrying a bag.
Mm.
When NEPA takes light, if he... Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. I see why you don't understand, because the grammar is kind of, you know, I'll try to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
So when NEPA takes light, if his gate man is not there, he will ask me to turn the generator on. I have done it so much that I'm getting muscles already. I'm
screaming.
One day I pulled it for 20 minutes. He did not even come outside. Is this okay? This is a human I love so much.
A human. Of course, when he's giving you iPhone 14 before everybody in department, four bone straights and different colors. Because you know, to buy bone straights is already expensive. To ask them to add color adds a price on top of it.
I'm sorry, but he has done that to gate man.
But I mean, does he give his gate man 4 bone straights?
First,
does he pays
he pays his gate man a salary though,
but he's not giving him 4 bone straights
and 2 iPhones
and 2 iPhones plus 1 Habi. Oh no, it's 2 including.
Yeah,
the
she
iPhone
said she has 2 phones.
Okay,
by the way,
okay.
Exactly. So, is this normal?
So Mattel, let me ask you, we take that from your man. We take that. He's asking you to pull generator 20 minutes straight, muscles are developing.
I don't know. I feel like relationships in Nigeria are very transactional.
Right.
And like, I think if his exchange is, I get you bone straight, you pull my generator.
As an assistant gate man.
Can you really fault the guy? I think maybe you guys should have a discussion as to what the expectations are. Like, is part of your responsibility as girlfriend to be a gate man? Like, what does he... How does he ask you to pull the generator?
Like, he's like, you
how
go,
does this conversation
you go
come
pull
up?
It.
Yeah.
Does he go like, I beg baby, Musa no there. Let me just use Musa. He's a different name. I'll say Sunday no day. Does he say, baby, please just help me go and turn on the generator? Or is this, baby, I beg, go and do the generator. Like, is it a forceful
thing? Is it more like
thing,
a demand
versus like
or
an
is
ask?
It like a nice...
Because if it's a nice ask, I mean, you have the option then to say, oh, I'm tired, you know, oh, I'm not feeling well, I don't feel like doing it right now. Just do it, I'll cook for you or something. You get what I'm saying? You can circumvent it. But if it's demanding, then you need to understand if the demand equals to 4 bone straights.
Like, what is the exchange rate?
like is it 10 demands per year? 10 demands equals another iPhone. Like, what's the trade-off?
No, I think the general dilemma is silly, so it's hard to give a serious answer.
Right.
I don't think there's a serious solution to this. I think he expects you to pull the generator because it's not even just once. She said she always does it. Like, so I don't think it's a thing of, oh, I'm feeling tired right now.
I see what
I think
you're saying.
He expects her to be do putting it on the chair.
Maybe that could also be how she sets expectation. Maybe he saw her. Maybe she's like, she started off with, oh, I can do it. Maybe she should try. Has she ever tried to ask him to do it?
Has she ever tried to say no? That's
or
my
no.
actual
yeah,
curiosity. I think that's the answer to your question.
Right.
First of all, I don't think it is normal. I don't know. Imama said, and this is funny, Imama is going to listen to this and laugh, but Imama said she knows how to pull gen. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm approaching this as someone that I think in my household, it was not seen as a woman thing, but I guess women empowerment. Like, why is this a man versus woman thing? So if you want to take the empowerment angle, then there's nothing wrong. Just be pulling the gen. I mean, power to the people. But you obviously don't feel comfortable doing it, and that's why you're asking the question. I wouldn't think it was normal.
Right.
I would expect the person I'm with, especially in his own house. I think if it was your house or like a house you guys shared together,
right,
and he told you to put on the gen, like you are both kind of benefiting from it, and it's like both your gens. But you're in his house and then he sends you to put on the gen. It's kind of weird.
No, it is weird. And I like, that's if we're assuming he's sending her versus not, like, she just can't say
no
to the guy.
No, but even if he's asking, though, like, he asks all the time.
Right.
So, therefore, it's an expectation.
I mean, I don't want to be in a relationship where, like, even if, let's say, my role was this, right? I still want the person to be like, you've not done this thing, though. Can you do it? Like, it shouldn't be a demand.
Even if you no longer get your bone straight.
Eh? What do you mean?
Even if you no longer get your bone straight.
Then the thing is imbalanced. My chest will be doing bing, bing. I need to leave the relationship now because things are not balanced anymore. Like, the thing is, a relationship are give and take, right? So, of course, like, I feel like, I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't know. Like, I don't like demand. I don't like being demanded to do anything. Like, I like polite people.
Asks.
I like people to politely ask me, and then I have the option to say yes or no.
I think you should say no. That's my answer.
Right.
I think, first of all, my answer is no, it's not normal. What to do going forward? I think you should try saying no and see how he reacts.
Right.
And then if he is the kind of person that has like the entitlement like
thing, then
after all the bone shade, I think that's a red flag. So.
Yeah, maybe she feels like he's like that, and that's why she's even afraid to
say
breach
no.
the topic, because she's like afraid he'll think, say, oh, after everything I've bought for you, do you get what I'm saying? Like this small thing, like what do you do in the house? Do you guess? Maybe he has cook and cleaner and everything. Like, oh, what are you doing? Do you get what I'm saying? And then she's now having to confront the fact that she's the same monster because she doesn't want to let go of her bone straight.
I don't know if she cares. But yeah, do that. And if it's that you are too scared to let go of your bone straight, then I suggest you keep pulling that gen.
And keep collecting. In fact, add tax to that bone straight.
Add more things, yeah.
Instead of bone straight, do wavy, you know, curly, S curl. I don't know if S curl is cheaper than bone straight these days, but add that one in.
Anyways, but yeah, I think that's the end of our Amiibo interlude today. Yeah, we're releasing Thursdays now instead of Wednesdays. Last season, we were doing Wednesdays, but it seems like Thursdays work best for us. Let us know what you think about the dilemma. What do you think she should do? Should she continue pulling the gen? Should she just accept it because she's getting benefits? Like, what do you think she should do? And let us also know. I'm really, really curious to hear the different opinions of people on this subsidy thing, because again, there's so many different opinions on how it should have been handled, how it should be handled, if the subsidy should be removed at all, stuff like that. So reach out to us, let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at AfricaLipsoPod, Instagram also at AfricaLipsoPod. You can check out our website, AfricaLipsoPodcast.com. And yeah, let us know. Stay in contact, guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And bye.
Bye, guys.